so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When the scribes and Pharisees kept on questioning him, Jesus straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again, Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground. When the scribes and Pharisees heard what Jesus had said, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." The Gospel of the Lord. Just the other day, I read a beautiful little story from the life of Mother Angelica. And Mother Angelica, apparently, was walking by the sea when a huge wave crashed at her feet. And a small drop of seawater fell on her hand. And she just kind of shook it off and flung it back into the sea. And then she said she heard the voice of Jesus say within her, "Angelica, have you seen that drop of water?" And she said, "Yes, Lord." And he said, "Those drops are like your sins, your weaknesses, your feebleness, and your imperfections. And the ocean is like my mercy. If you were to search for that drop of water, would you be able to find it now?" "No, Lord," she said. And he said, "In the same way, when you confess your sins and repent of them, all will be washed away in the ocean of my mercy." And so it's a beautiful story that ties in with the readings today. And the Gospels often speak to us of God's mercy. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells three parables of God's mercy in a row. Each one has a slightly different focus. There's the parable, if you remember, of the lost sheep. Now, in this parable, we see that the sheep just wandered away and got lost through sheer foolishness. In the parable of the lost coin, the coin was lost through no fault of its own. And in the parable of the prodigal son, well, the son deliberately chose to be lost through sheer malice. Now, with these three parables, as Jesus is saying that when someone sins, whether someone sins because of foolishness, inexperience, not thinking through the consequences, or by being led astray by someone else, the seduction of tempting voices, or whether it's because of a deliberate, malicious, callous rebellion of the heart, all will be forgiven if the person chooses to confess and repent of their sins. Not only are their sins forgiven, but we're told that God rejoices over that person the way a parent would rejoice over a lost child who was found again. And so, beautiful parables about God's mercy. And then today, we see that Jesus is, in a sense, being put to test. He's not just talking about God's mercy, he's actually showing it in action and through deeds. There's a woman brought to him whom multiple witnesses say they caught in the act of committing adultery. And in the ancient world, adultery was viewed as much more serious than it is considered today. In the ancient world, there was no excuses that were acceptable. Nothing could mitigate the seriousness of the offense. The Jews had a common saying that all Jews should be willing to die rather than commit one of three sins. They should be willing to die rather than to commit apostasy, which is denying their faith, or murder, or adultery. And in numerous places in the Old Testament, it's stated that anyone caught in adultery should be put to death. No excuses, no mitigating factors are accepted. And so the scribes and Pharisees who brought this woman to Jesus knew that they had an open and shut case. And that all the Jews would consider what this woman had done was a major, serious, unforgivable offense that Scripture says should be punished by death. Now, what I'd like to just focus on is how Jesus treated this woman and how he treated her sin. Because how he treats her is exactly how he will treat us as well. And it's important that we understand because it can be a guide for us as to how we are to deal with sin in our own lives. Now, when the scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus for his opinion, what should be done with the woman, Jesus gives that famous answer, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." But in the original language, that phrase means more. It means not just he who is without sin, but it also means he who, it literally means he who has never sinned and has never even once given in their hearts to desire to sin. So it's a very high standard. And of course, all the scribes and Pharisees drop their stones one by one and they walk away and they leave Jesus alone with the woman. And then Jesus turns to the woman and he says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Now is the opportunity for the woman to respond to these charges that were brought against her. And notice what she does not do. She doesn't make any excuses. She doesn't say, "Well, it's because my husband does not pay attention to me, or because my husband is away a lot and I'm lonely." She doesn't try to deny her sin and say, "Well, the Ten Commandments are out of fashion. It's an old teaching. It's not so bad anymore. In my case, it was okay because my husband and I have an understanding. There's mitigating factors." She didn't try to hide her sin in any way. She just simply accepted her sin and that it was wrong, and she was sorry for it. And then the next thing Jesus says to her is, "Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So again, notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't say, "Well, your sins are forgiven. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal." He didn't leave it like that. He said, "Go and sin no more." In other words, Jesus is saying, yes, what you did was wrong. Yes, you did sin against God and your marriage and your family and the community and your faith. You did mess up. But now I'm giving you another chance. And you have a choice. You can go back to your old ways, or you can reach out to a new life with my help. And I believe in you. I believe you can change if you want to, if you ask for my help, and if you work at it. You can become better. You can become a saint. So he's saying, I'm not going to condemn you now. At the end of your life, then judgment will come, and we will see how you did with your chances, the chances and the offer that God is making to you now. And so I think once again we have this beautiful story of the incredible mercy of God. All these stories, the story of the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, the woman caught in adultery, over and over again we see that God wants to forgive no matter what. He wants to give second choices over and over again for the rest of our lives. However, in order to receive that mercy into our lives, we need to do two things. Like the woman, first, we need to confess our sins honestly and sincerely. Accept them. Own them as our choices. If we, however, try to hide them in confession by not being clear on purpose, if we refuse to mention them at all, if we try to justify them and say, "Well, I know the church teaches this is a big sin, but in my case, it was justified, and so I have nothing to be sorry about." Well, then, in those cases, our sin remains on our soul, and we leave confession without being forgiven. And unfortunately, that can often happen, that for whatever reason, people refuse to accept sin as sin, excuse it, explain it away, or don't confess it out of embarrassment. And if that's done, that's a big deal, because in the Middle Ages, when society was Catholic, when the vast majority of people were Catholic and were practicing their faith, the Lord revealed to certain saints that in that kind of a situation, the number one reason Catholics would end up in hell would be due to bad confessions, or that they neglected to go to confession and they did not take it seriously. And so their sins remained on them because he didn't want to let them go. The second condition, besides confessing honestly and sincerely, is that we just also need to have the intention of go and sin no more. In other words, we have to have the intention in our heart that we're not only sorry this sin happened, but we want to do what is needed to try not to fall back into the sin again. It means resolving to deliberately putting ourselves in a situation that we know could lead us into sin. If we don't have that intention, if we just confess out of habit and have no real desire to change, or we're not willing to put out of our lives what leads us into sin over and over again, then again, there's no forgiveness. So God's mercy is without limit, and he desires to forgive, and he actually rejoices when he can forgive, no matter what it is. All we need to do is to be willing to be honest about our sins, confess, and then be willing to try to change for the better and to avoid what could lead us into sin. So this is a nice reminder for us because Lent is over in 2 weeks, and this Thursday is our penance celebration. We'll have three other priests. There'll be four of us here Thursday night to hear confessions. And we do have a detailed examination of conscience at the back of the church beside the confessional. And that is good if there's somebody who's been away from confession for a long period of time, maybe more than a year. It's a good reminder to us of what we need to look at in our lives. Or if we know we've deliberately held back serious sins, then we need to confess again from that point on, and a detailed examination can help us. If we're in the habit of regularly going to confession, a good idea is just to ask ourselves, how is my heart not yet like the heart of Christ? What is the heart of Christ like in the gospel, and how am I falling short? And all those things are good things to bring to confession. And then when we do that, we know that we are bringing joy to God's heart, and that all our sins forgiven, and we will have another second chance.